What a statement. What a statement. Walk about Zion and go about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. God is saying to a generation of people that in just a little while will be taken into captivity. He's saying, you're going to be gone for 70 years. Don't you forget what's here. Because you've got to come back one of these days and you've got to rebuild a temple and rebuild a city and rebuild the palaces and rebuild the walls and rebuild the bulwarks. He said, you walk around the city and you examine and you memorize everything about the temple. And you memorize everything about the walls. And you memorize everything about the palaces. You find out what holds this city together. You find the ingredients that have made this great city. So when you come back someday, you will have it in your memory and you will know how to build this city again as it has always been. He's saying, walk over Zion. Go about it again and again. Count its towers, those that watch over the vineyards, those that are on the corners of the wall, those that are out in the plains outside the city where men in the towers look for the enemy, the enemy's approaching. Learn her bulwarks or her wall or her ramparts, if you please. Memorize all of her palaces. Don't miss a thing. Get a good look that you may tell it to the following generation. That ye may tell it to the generation following. Not just tell them how it was, but tell them what made it how it was. But how it can still be. Find out the things behind it. Build another generation just like it. The next generation will have to build another temple. So you watch this one. So you can tell the next generation what kind of temple they ought to build. The next generation will have to build other walls. And so you watch these walls, this wall around the city, so you may tell the next generation how to rebuild the wall. Because what the psalmist was saying is, I want the next generation to be like this generation. I want the next generation to serve the same God of this generation. I want the next generation to believe the same Bible of this generation. I want the next generation to have the same power as this generation has. And so the psalmist said, look carefully. He said, walk around the city. Don't miss a thing. Examine everything. Look at the bulwarks. Look at the ramparts. Look at the palaces. Look at the temple. Look at the city. Find out exactly what makes it tick so that you can tell the next generation. Now, that's my message to you tonight. I have not lived for my generation. I have lived for your generation. I have not given my life for my generation. I have given my life for your generation. And my message tonight to you is, listen, every person in this room tonight, don't you just hear the amens and hear the preaching. You find out what makes this church tick. You study this church. I mean, don't you just look at the enthusiasm. You find out what causes that enthusiasm. And you walk around the walls. And you look at the bulwarks. And you look at the ramparts, and you look at the walls, and you check this church. You watch the preacher. You watch the staff men. You see if you can find out what's made this church, because it's going to be your responsibility after I've gone to heaven for you to see to it that the next generation has a church just like this. And I want to serve notice to you tonight. I don't believe this church has to deteriorate with the next generation. I don't believe it. I believe there can be a church just like this 50 years from now, but it will not, on this corner, but it will not be by accident, and it will not just happen. It'll happen when the people in this room tonight, God, watch this church. Find out what makes it tick. Find out what causes its defense. Find out what makes it grow. Find out what it's all about. And examine it so the next generation, by the grace of God, can build another church here on this corner, just like the church that's here tonight. I hate to think that these children here on the front row will not have what our young folks have had. While those young ladies sang a while ago, both of them were practically grew up in the First Baptist Church of Hammond here many years. They were children and teenagers.
I said, oh my God, I pray you'll help their children someday to stand like they stood tonight and sing in a church that's exactly like the old church downtown is. But brother, it won't happen unless every single person in this room tonight says, I am going to find out what's made this church tick. Young couples, listen to me. Young couples, don't grow up here and not see it. I mean, just a bunch of amens is not it. There's something behind it. There's something that causes the amens. The altar here, there's a reason why the altar is filled. There's a reason why we baptize thousands a year. There's something you don't know if you just casually look. You won't sit here all your life and get it, but examine it. Find out what makes it tick. You young couples, it'll just be a while till you'll be the middle-aged couples here in First Baptist Church. Those of us that are now in our 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s, well, they passed off the scene. I want our children that were in vacation Bible school the other day, whom I had a lot of fun and whom I love with all of my heart, I want those children to have at First Baptist Church of Hammond the same thing we have when they're the age of these young ladies that sang a while ago. And it can happen. The devil doesn't have to take it over. Listen, I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to anyway. Wouldn't it have been wonderful if the people of Spurgeon's Tabernacle had heeded this scripture? Wouldn't it have been wonderful if back yonder when crowds like this were attending Spurgeon's Tabernacle, 5,000 people packing that thing out every Lord's Day, wouldn't it have been wonderful if people had said, we're not going to lose this. We're not going to just sit here and enjoy it. Excuse me. We're going to find out what makes it tick. We're going to find out what causes this. And walk around the walls and look at the walls and check the foundation and check the bulwarks and check the ramparts and check the bricks and check the stone and check the palaces and check the temple and check what goes on and say, by the grace of God Almighty, I'm a young person. My wife and I have grown up in First Baptist Church of Hammond. We want our children to have an old-fashioned church like this, a soul-winning, sin-hating, Christ-honoring church like this. And with the grace of God, before Brother Hiles passes off the scene, we're going to find out what makes the guy tick. We're going to find out what makes this church tick. We're going to walk around the walls and examine the walls so we can tell the next generation how to build another one just like this. Let our enemies say what they want to say. Let Mr. Scumner say what he wants to say. Let him talk about us thinking we're the greatest church in the world. We are the greatest church in the world. Mr. Sumner wouldn't do a great church if you saw one. I mean, you pastor a church somewhere and have your annual convert, you don't know a real church when you see one. Say what you want to say. Hurl your barbs. Send your dirty words. Launch your filthy arrows. You're looking tonight at the greatest soul-winning church in the history of this nation, and by the grace of God, it can always be. But it won't be by accident. It won't just happen. You young couples tonight, I'm talking about you young married couples, have kids in the nursery. I'm talking about those of you that are 20 and 25, 30, 35, and 40 years of age. This has been your church all these years. It just will not happen to be here like it is now, 25 years from now. You've got to examine it. You've got to figure out what makes it tick. You can have all the silly billies you want to, and all the fooey deenies you want to, and all the Bubba Joneses you want to, and all of the old timers you want to, and all the Bucky Tuckers you want to, and all of the fooey deenies you want to, and these surface things that are wonderful and blessed. But what you better do, young couple, is you better watch this thing and watch it and examine it and look at it and pray about it and ask God to show you what makes it tick. Why? So you can tell the next generation how to build a soul-winning church here in this place. I say, young couples, don't grow up here and not see it. This is not an accident. Memorize the ingredients. Find out why. Check the bulwarks. Check the palace. Check the towers. Memorize it. Tell it to your children. Check the towers that watch over the orchards that bring forth the fruit. Don't just say we'll always have a soul-winning church. Find out what makes that soul-winning church here. Check the walls of defense. Check the foundations of the church. Check the sermons. Wonder why the preacher preaches on a particular sermon. Try to get down into his motives and why he's preaching about it and what causes it and what has built the church. It's your children's church. It can stay the same. What I've done to you and for you through these years, I have lived and spanned a generation. I watched the John Rices. Why? So I could tell you what they were like. I examined them. Now, I'm not a John Rice and not near a John Rice, but I tell you what you better do. You better preach your voice. You better examine Jack Hiles. You better examine Wendell Evans. You better examine these men on the platform. You better find out what makes these men tick. I'm not talking about get their funny stories and tell them. I'm talking about examine them. Make a science out of it. So with the grace of God, the next generation, that's what I did. I watched Dr. Bob Jones Sr. Watched him like a hawk. I watched every move that John Rice made for 22 years. I studied him carefully. Made notes about him. Tried to figure out what made him tick. I've taken that previous generation, the E. Robertsons, the John Rices, the Bob Jones Seniors, the R.G. Lees, the G.B. Vicks. I've studied them. Why? Because I wanted to tell you what it was like so we could reproduce it in this city what they, the kind of Christianity they had, and this church is no accident. It's an on-purpose church. It's here because I've studied and others have studied. Now, you do the same thing in God's name. If I could get on my knees tonight and beg you, I would. I'd walk up to everybody in this room tonight and say to you, if I could, I'd say, please, I beg you, do what the psalmist said. Walk around the walls, check the walls, investigate the walls. You young people, not yet married, it's time you sat down close to the front and paid attention. It's time you quit hiding back in the dark like a bunch of cockroaches. It's time you set up. Christianity's for teenagers too. The Bible's for teenagers too. Prayer's for teenagers too. Soul winning is for teenagers too. I'd hate to try to find the darkest place in the building and the farthest away in the building and hide back there and misbehave. It's time you set up and hurt God's man so you can build someday the kind of church you've grown up in. It's not honest, it's not right, it's not fair for you to sit there and risk the lives of your unborn children because you're not checking what's going on here to find out what's here so your kids will have the same thing. And by the way, when you become a mother or father, you'll be amazed how important the church all of a sudden becomes. When you hold that little life with a never-dying soul in your arms, and you stop and realize that God has given you custody, listen to me, custody and responsibility of that child, you're going to want that child to have the best school in America. You're going to want that child to have the best church in America. And by the grace of God, when Dr. Isles is in heaven playing tag with the angels and worshiping the face of my Savior, bless God, you can still have it. But you won't have it unless you set up and find out what's going on. This church didn't happen. We didn't all one day just find this place and say, let's meet here. This church has been on purpose. Listen to me. Listen to me. Young people, hey, back here, listen to me. I'm preaching to you. We got too much laughing and snickering in church. We got too many people not listening. There's more to this than you listening. Brother Hiles, he's sort of irritable about wants folks to hear him. No, that's not what I want. I want you, by the grace of God, to have the same kind of old-fashioned, rip-snorting, hell-raising church 25, 30, and 40 years from now that First Baptist Church has tonight, and you won't have it unless you sit up and examine the walls and walk around the walls and examine the bulwarks and find out what made this church tick. I'm so sick of teenagers not being spiritual and thinking the spirituality is for old people. I don't know what to do. Young people, you don't have as much time. You've got to hurry up. Set up. Pay attention. Watch Brother Hiles. Learn this church. Walk around its walls. Check its bulwarks. Check its ramparts. Check the palaces. Check the towers. Find out the philosophies. Well, I believe in First Baptist Church of Hammond, and I like the soul winning, but there are a few philosophies with which I differ. Brother, did you ever dawn on you that the ingredients is what causes what's turned out? I mean, if you want a pecan pie, you don't put peaches in it. Well, I like pecan pie, but I'd rather have peaches than not pecan pie than pecans. You won't have pecan pie, you'll have peach pie, dummy. Look, I'll be gone. I'm not going to be here forever. You, Brother Young, how old are you? 34 years old. He and I live the same age. He's got 28 years after I'm gone. He'll be here. His children will have 28 years and his grandchildren 28 years to go to church. Boy, the thought of a day coming when this church, every one of these little so-called self-styled deeper lifers, where you gather around the Word and let souls go to hell and run no buses and have no convictions and have no standards, and the girls run around the schoolhouse and the church building in shorts and the fellas run around with hippie hair, that makes me cringe. I'm saying, watch it, watch it, watch it, walk around the walls, watch the towers, look at the bulwarks, check the ramparts, find out what made this church tick, that you may tell it to the next generation. You House Anderson College staff and faculty, you memorize this place. You study this place. You're not there just to teach pronouns and nouns and adjectives and adverbs. You're there to find out what makes this first church tick so you can tell it to young people that sit in your classrooms, so you can transfer it to them. And what you better do, you House Anderson College staff and faculty and administration, you walk around the walls of this church and find out what makes those walls stand. You look at those towers and find out what makes those towers stand erect and keep protection. You look at the palaces and you look at the ramparts and you look at the bulwarks. You find out what makes it tick. That you may tell it to the generation following. Young preachers, keep your eyes open. Don't walk away from this place with the convictions without the love. Don't walk away from this place with the hard preaching without the tears. Don't get the external. Study it. Find out what makes it tick. Young preachers, our enemies can say what they want to say they're going to anyway. See, Brother House, aren't you afraid you'll get criticized? Not a bit in the world. You can't be criticized more than I'm being criticized. And I'm not going to let a bunch of backslidden Bob Sumners determine what I don't preach from this pulpit right here, what I preach. No way. Mr. Victor P. Nischik is not going to change my preaching one iota. I believe in a soul-winning church. I believe in a sin-fighting church. I believe in a fundamental church. By the grace of God Almighty, you young preachers, get it while you're here. You get it while you're here. A long time after I'm gone, you tell it to the next generation. You find the ingredients. Instead of sitting there making faces at your sweetheart, sit up and listen to what's going on. Some of you little lovesick goons up there in the balcony in the corner somewhere, sitting up there right now, your heart beating real fast over some perfume that you smell. She hadn't taken a bath and used that gook, you've been smelling sweat instead of perfume. There you sit tonight, thinking about her. What you ought to be thinking is, if you love that gal, you ought to be thinking that the day is going to come when, if God gives you to her and her to you, you're going to have some children. And those children are going to live in the United States of America. And the fundamentalism that we've known will be history unless you sit up and take notice. I'm not against courting. I'm against courting in church. I said I'm against courting in church. I'm against you married folks leaning on you, putting your wife, putting your head on your husband's shoulder in church. Hold your head up straight. Neck and pet on the way home when you get home. Watch what's going on. Sit up straight. Look at the man of God. Find out what makes this church tick. You men of God, God's called you. You're here studying for the ministry. Whatever you do, don't miss the science of the First Baptist Church of Hammond. You walk around its walls. Examine them. Check the stones in those walls. Examine them. Check the mortar that holds those stones together. Examine them. Check the foundation that holds those stones up. Examine them. Check the towers on the corner of those walls that look out for the enemy. Examine them. Check the building. Check the lights. Check the organ. Check the piano. Check the choir. Find out what's behind it all. Find out, not only about the... Some of you guys are going to go out, and you're going to go up your church, and you're going to start telling a bunch of funny jokes during announcement time. And fall flat on your face. Find the love that prompts that. Find the desire to give some laughter and some sweet joy to people suffering and people with cancer and people heartbroken and people with a heartache. Find out what makes it tick. And let's cover this country by the grace of Almighty God with a great generation of young preachers that set this country aflame for Jesus Christ, building churches like First Baptist Church of Hammond. Walk around Zion and go about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. Deacons, one of the great secrets to the history of the future of First Baptist Church of Hammond is the deacon board. Deacons, you lead the way in soul winning. Deacons, you lead the way in the bus ministry. Deacons, you lead the way in saying amen. You lead the way. While you're sitting in deacons' meeting, you study for the Hiles. Don't you try to figure out some way you can get some little namby-pamby fella that'll be under your thumb when I'm gone. You find out what makes this church tick. There can be a First Baptist church here just like this 50 years from tonight. And there can be churches like this all over this country 50 years from tonight. But it'll only be true if we walk around the walls and examine them and examine the towers and examine the bulwarks and examine the ramparts, examine the foundation, examine the stone, examine the mortar. Deacons, find out what makes this church tick. Every person in this room must take it upon himself to watch it. There's method behind our madness here. There's planning behind our chaos. This is an on-purpose church, not an uh-oh church. This church didn't evolve. This church was planned and is planned. I don't throw any unplanned fits up here. I throw a fit, it's on purpose. When I have a spell, it's on purpose. You watch it. Listen. Observe. Don't forget. It's preaching. It's standards. It's buses. It's soul winning. Watch it. Study it. Study it carefully. I said a while ago, wouldn't it have been wonderful if Mr. Spurgeon had preached this sermon at Spurgeon Tabernacle, and if the folks had listened to him and had done what he said? There could be a Spurgeon Tabernacle in London, England right now running 5,000 people. And if there were, there would still be that evangelistic fundamental college for preachers that Mr. Spurgeon had. And there would be churches all over England like Spurgeon Tabernacle. Now, why is it that England's gone tonight? I'll tell you why she's gone. Why is it you can hardly find a decent soul-winning church anywhere in England? I'll tell you exactly why. Because the people that sat in Spurgeon Tabernacle, just like you're sitting here tonight, did not observe and watch and check the towers and check the foundation and check the walls and check the bulwarks and check the ramparts and said, we're going to find out what makes Spurgeon Tabernacle tick so we can have another one just like it in the next generation. Can you imagine what it would have been like if Moody Church over here, back yonder when Dwight Moody was there, and R.A. Torrey and H.A. Ironside, can you imagine what would happen? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we ran across their buses all over Chicago with our buses? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful if poor little ragged bus kids would still run up and down and mess the walls up of their church like the walls here? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had competition in Chicago for the poor and the maimed, the halt, the blind, the little children, the ragamuffin kids, and those that nobody else cares for? Why didn't Moody Church? I'll tell you exactly why. While it was going on, they sat there like some of you do. The young people misbehaved. The young couples didn't know what makes it tick. And they didn't. Wouldn't it have been wonderful if they stopped and said, we've got to check it out. We've got to walk around the walls. We've got to find out what makes these walls stand. We've got to check the brick. We've got to check the mortar. We've got to check the foundation. We've got to check the ramparts. We've got to check the fence. We've got to check the towers. We've got to check the preaching. We've got to check the soul winning. We've got to check the bus ministry. We've got to check the convictions and standards. There could still be an old-fashioned Moody Church tonight. You say, you're criticizing Moody Church? You just say anything you want to say, brother. I'm simply saying, it ain't what you used to be. I don't care what the church is. If it's not reaching the poor people, it's not a New Testament church. Wouldn't it have been wonderful if the Wesley Chapel in London could have walked around the walls? Wouldn't it have been wonderful if those people that sat in those pews? But see, here's what happens. Just like you sit here, it's old hat to you. Every time you walk in these doors, every time you see the invitation, you ought to tingle in your soul and say, by the grace of God Almighty, I'm going to find out what causes that. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you go to London tonight and one Sunday go visit Spurgeon's Tabernacle and see 5,000 people packed in there? The next Sunday go to Wesley Chapel and see a great crowd of people there with a great evangelistic service like they used to have? Wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if the people that once sat in Cato Tabernacle down in Indianapolis had heard this sermon and practiced what the preacher said? He said, with the grace of God, we'll see to it there'll be a Cato Tabernacle like this for the next generation. We'll check the walls, we'll check the towers, we'll check the foundation, we'll check the palaces, we'll check it out. We're not just going to sit here and soak it up, we're going to find out where it's coming from. By the grace of God, there could still be a great church in Indianapolis running thousands in Sunday school. Wouldn't it have been wonderful if the A.B. Simpson Tabernacle in New York City, which in a matter of 3 months was running 1,500 attendants, 3 months after they started, wouldn't it have been wonderful if somebody had enough sense to say, let's figure out what causes this? I'm a little tired of people saying, well, it's a different era. Well, fooey on the eras. John the Baptist was a different era from Elijah, too, but they both did very well. Well, there's been a shift in the population. Have you ever noticed our field here at First Baptist Church? Have you ever noticed this neighborhood? Bless God, I don't care what neighborhood it is. God's people and God's man can build a church. You don't have to have a certain where. You don't have to have a certain who. All you got to do is have a certain what. Anywhere in America. You go down there to Winston-Salem, North Carolina, a few miles out of Winston-Salem. You drive by all those formal churches, can't get a corporal's guard or a quorum. You keep on driving way out in the country, so far out in the country, you know, you think you're the next town. Then you turn right and drive a little while longer. Then you drive a little while and go around some country road and look over here on the right. There's a great, big, beautiful church seating about 2,000 people. And a fellow's there that doesn't know an adverb from a pronoun. but he knows Jesus from the devil. He knows right from wrong. Old Bobby Robertson, years ago, came to hear me teach a soul winning course in Winston-Salem. Had a little handful of people out in the country. Went out that afternoon, won his first soul to Jesus Christ. That man he won to Christ is now an elderly man. He walked up to me 7 months ago when I was preaching there, and he said, "Dr. House, I want to thank you." I said, "What?" He said, "I'm the first soul that Bobby Robertson ever won to Christ, and I'm on the deacon board here after all these years." Right out in the country. I don't care. Listen, don't you recall where John the Baptist preached? Huh? He didn't say, "What come you down to the Civic Center to see?" They didn't say, "What come you down to the football stadium to see?" They didn't say, "What come you down to the Coliseum?" "Why come you out in the wilderness?" That's where John the Baptist preached. It's not where you are. It's not how much education you have. Have you checked to see the recipe? What makes it tick and what makes it work? You drive out tonight to Santa Clara, California. Less than an acre of ground. You know where the folks park at the Jack Treber's church? They park in a school parking lot a long ways off. They have little shuttle buses. And you get on a shuttle bus and they shuttle you to the church and your car is parked a mile or so away. And you ride the shuttle bus. You can't build a church like that. It's not how you get to church that counts. It's not what kind of feel you have that counts. Bless your little pea-picking heart. Did you check and find out what the secret was? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing tonight if Cato Tabernacle over here in Chicago, Paul Rader is pastor of Moody Church. They wouldn't reach the poor people, so he pulled out and started Rader Tabernacle on the south side of Chicago. What a great ministry he had there for many years. Well, you say for the house, there's been a shift of population. There's been a shift of pastors. There's been a shift of emphasis. There's been a shift. Listen, brother, I believe that old-fashioned love will work anywhere. I believe that the old-fashioned power of God will work anywhere. I believe the old-time religion will work anywhere. I believe old-fashioned preaching will work anywhere. People say to me across the country, "Brother Hines, this age doesn't like old-fashioned preaching. They like this exegesis." Well, why aren't they in church tonight? They like it so much. They don't like it. They know they don't like it. They come back for more. What this nation needs is preaching. And what this nation needs is a generation of people like you to sit. Look, you're living in history. You're sitting in the only church in the world that could take what this church has taken and what this preacher has taken in the last 4 months and still have bigger crowds than it had before it all happened. You're living in history. You're living in a miracle. In God's name, don't miss it. It's not my generation. I'm not fighting for my generation. I'm fighting for your generation. Don't just walk. Oh, don't just watch its results. Don't just watch its enthusiasm. Make a scientific study of it. Preachers leave this place and go out to start churches or pastor churches and never get what's here. And I'll tell you why, too. There are too many of you Hiles Anderson College preacher boys that are more concerned about that beautiful little girl in her Chanel number 5 than you are about Daniel number 5. I'm not against courting. I'm not against dating. But I'll tell you what I am against. I'm against you sitting up there in the balcony somewhere like a lovesick goon while God's man is preaching God's message, and someday you're going to be out yonder on the battlefield and you're going to walk out of this place and you're going to know theology and know the Bible and know homiletics and you're going to know it all, but you're not going to know the first thing about building an old-fashioned church and perpetuating one because you didn't keep your eyes open while you were here. I wonder how many times Dr. Bob Gray down in Longview, Texas, who's built one of the great soul-winning churches in America, one of our graduates. One of how many times Dr. Bob Gray has said to me, "Dr. Howes, you're my hero." And he said, "I want to tell you something. While I was in Howes Anderson College, you didn't take a move I didn't watch. I watched you. I not only watched what you did, but I watched, try to figure out why you did it. I examined you. I made a science of what I just didn't sit there in the classroom. I watched you, and I tried to find out what made it tick. Well, bless God, he found out, and it's ticking in Texas tonight." I wonder how many times that little Rick Martin, little skinny drink of water, we used him for a thermometer when we didn't have one. Wonder how many times he's told me that at a Howes Anderson College and here at First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, he watched everything, studied it, made a science of it. You say, "You must think this is a great church." You just hit it on the head. Yes, sir. "You must think you're hot stuff." No, sir, but I got a book that's hot stuff. And I got a God that's hot stuff. And we have a program that's hot stuff. And we have a Holy Spirit that's hot stuff. And we have a Savior that's hot stuff. Somebody sent me an article about Brother Mike Haynes down in Charleston, South Carolina. Took a... what was that building? Junkyard. Took a junkyard and built a church. Yeah. You ought to see his building now. He's got one building that he's built. Auditorium probably seat 400. Well, the guy said 16, 17, 1800 in Sunday school. He's building a little First Baptist Church of Hammond down there. I expect the average is 800, 900 a Sunday. Been there 4 years. Started off with nothing but junk. Same thing I have sitting in these pews right now. Nothing but junk. Would you like to know why he has that great church down there? Because, brother, every Sunday he was here, he sat right down there. He kept his eyes fastened on this pulpit. He said, "I'm going to find out not only what's going on there, but what makes it go on." Don't just watch Howes Anderson College in chapel. You figure out why that chapel's like it is. You figure out why we let that foolishness go on. And tell me. You study it. Study that man right there. Psychiatrists all over America are studying him. Find out what keeps him from ticking. I mean, makes him tick. You study that man right there. You young folks, you study Ed Lapina. You study his loyalty. You study his diligence. You study his concern. Study him. Study that man right there. Study Ray Young. Study his loyalty. Study his hard work. Study his diligence. Study it. Study it. Study it. Study it. Don't leave without it. I guarantee you, Mike Haynes had been up there in the corner of the balcony somewhere necking with his wife, he would have gone out here and flopped just like you neckers are going to flop. I'm not against sitting in the balcony as long as you're on the edge of your seat. Not where you sit in the building bothers me. It's where you sit on the seat that bothers me. You study this man right here. Study him. You study this man right here. Grew up in our church. Went to university. Got his accountant training. Went to work for the public works company. What is it called? NIPSCO. Yeah. People that overcharge you on your bill. It's his fault. It's his fault. Crucify him. Crucify him. You check that man's loyalty. You watch the way he's gone up the ladder down at NIPSCO. You watch the way he's become somebody but hasn't found it out yet. You watch the way he's just as humble as he was the day when he's a teenage boy. You watch the way he's just as humble as he was. He's just as much a follower and just as loyal and faithful as a well-to-do businessman as he was back yonder when he was just starting out. You study that man right there. Study him. He grew up in First Baptist Church. Watch him. Watch what he does. Study that man over there. You study that man, Roy Moffitt. Came in my office one day, said, "Preacher, I'm too dumb to go to college. I can't finish college. I can't do it. I'm not smart enough to be in the Lord's work." And I said, "You get back out to college. Don't you come in here quitting." "Well, preacher, I can't." I said, "You get out of here and get back out there and get your degree." He went out there, and with the grace of God, he worked, and it was harder for him than most people. You copy his diligence. You copy the tenacity that caused him to get that degree. There's not a man on this platform that has worked his way up and clawed any more than Roy Moffitt has. You watch him and study him. You study that man right there, Brother Hooker. You watch him as he keeps on going, though he's not well. You watch him when he doesn't feel like he can walk another step now because he has an illness. Ever since he's had AIDS, it's been a problem with him. You watch Bob O'Clair. You watch the way he keeps on going in spite of the fact that his heart was broken just a few days ago. Don't sit up there in the corner and go to sleep. Get up on the edge, you see. Find out what's going on around here. Good night. There's a world out there that needs the gospel. A nation that needs these kind of churches. Find out what's going on. So you can tell it to the generation following. Many years, I've gone up and down this country, and I've worked here in this church, and I've had my eyes on one thing, and that's the next generation. That's the next generation. And all these years, before you came along, many of you, I've been watching the bulwarks of the generation before me. I've sat there through the night and watched G.B. Vick, pastor of the largest church in the world at the time, when he and I shared a room together. I've sat there during the night and watched him sleep. Many a night I've sat beside my bed and watched Dr. John Rice as he slept. I've watched the way he held his fork. I've watched the way he ate his food. I've watched the way he walked to the pulpit. I've watched the way he sat on the platform. I've watched him. I've watched the old saints of God that you never got to meet so that I could tell your generation what they had. I've walked around their walls. I've examined their towers. I've checked their bulwarks. I've checked their ramparts. I've watched the brick and mortar of which they were made. So I could give it to you. And now then, next month I'll be 63 years of age. And I've got a lot of miles on me, far more miles than most 63-year-old men have. And one of these days, you're going to come to church and I'll not be behind this pulpit. I hope it's years to come, but I don't know when it's going to be. Whenever it is, I want you teenagers to have kept your eyes open so you can say, "Brother Howells is gone, but his God still lives." And the truth that he stood for and what he did and what was behind it all can still build a church right downtown Hammond in 1995 and 2000 and 2010 and 2020. You young couples here, you watch it, study it. Don't just look at the exterior. You try to figure out what makes it tick. Try to figure out not just what Brother Howells does, but why he does what he does. And you watch it. Don't you call some little pussyfooting preacher because he's suave and has a good personality or has charisma. Don't you let some pussyfooting back scratcher use psychology on you and you call him because he's such a suave personality. Don't you do it. You find out what's made this thing tick. You teachers in our schools, learn it. Walk around the walls. Check the towers. Check the bulwarks. Check the ramparts. Check the palaces, that ye may be able to tell it to the generation following. You Howells Anderson College faculty members, don't you just teach history at Howells Anderson College. You try to figure out what's made this place tick, and along with that history, you teach what made this place tick, but you won't know unless you examine it. Every single person in this room tonight who believes in this ministry, and if you don't, what in the name of common sense are you doing here? Every single one of you that believes in this ministry, let me tell you something. Don't you kid yourself. When Brother Hiles is gone, if this church is still the soul-winning church it is now, I'll guarantee you, your attacks are not over. The devil's not finished with attacking this church when Brother Hiles is gone. Somebody said, I'll be glad this blows over. It won't blow over. There's no discharge from this war. None. Brother Hiles, I'm getting weary. Be ye not weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap if you faint not. Learn what makes it tick. Some churches, when the pastor passes off the scene, they want to hire some deeper life Bible teacher, which means that he knows so much he can't make you understand it. So to hear him teach the Bible is like going to a museum. You look at it and see what's there and say, isn't that something? Walk home without it. Teaching is not a display of knowledge. Teaching is a transfer of knowledge. You hire a hell-raising, barnstorming, window-rattling, hollering, shouting, pulpit-beating, stomping, PA-throwing preacher. It's your generation, not mine. Mine's almost over. My crowd's passing off the scene. Men I've preached with for my lifetime are in heaven tonight. Brother Olaf's gone. Dr. Rice is gone. Dr. Bill's gone. Dr. Vick is gone. Dr. R.G. Lee is gone. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. is gone. Brother Bob Keyes is gone. One by one, my crowd's passing off the scene. But most of you have many years to come. A whole life to live. You've got little children to rear. I hope with the grace of God that there's still a Mike Sisson at the Hammond Baptist Grade School and a Tom Vogel at the Hammond Baptist Junior High School and a Greg Weber at Hammond Baptist High School and a Wendell Evans at Howells Anderson College. I hope with the grace of God you still got a sincere preacher who loves you like I do standing behind this pulpit. I hope the little children that call me preacher and put money under my door and sing to me will not have me as a preacher for their teenage years, most of them. I'll not perform most of their weddings. I listen to them sing and see the little fingers under my door and wish I were 20 years younger so I could help rear them, help keep the school straight. Your generation I'm thinking about, not mine. What a passage. What a scripture. Walk about Zion. Go around about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. I've told it to you. I've told to you what I learned scientifically. Now you have a scientific study.
and you find out what this thing is all about, that you may tell it to the generation following. Would you bow your heads, please?